Hey, welcome to the Outside Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and this is our podcast. Thank you so much for checking it out. Hope it encourages you and inspires you. Here's today's message.
Repeat after me. Do all that you can. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Do all that you can. Why do you think the Bible says this? Because there are going to be some people. They're going to come into our life. They're going to walk in through those doors who you will never be able to please. But God reminds us tonight that we were not created. We were not called to please people, but to worship and honor God. And there will be individuals in the workplace, at school, in our churches, no matter how much you try, they're just not going to like you. Dear friends, never take revenge. Say never. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. Others would say, que se muera. Let them die. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Why? Because they're just not going to get it. They're not going to be able to understand it. Wait a minute. I just offended this person. But for whatever reason, this person still loves me. This person still gives me the time of day. They're not going to understand it. This is why it's so important for us to be Christ-like in all manner of living. Because there is a world to reach, and they have to be able to desire what we have. They have to be able to love the difference. Amen? Verse 21, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Repeat after me, conflict resolution. Quickly, I know there's a lot that we can share regarding this particular topic, but just quickly, I just want to drop some tools, some resources with you. The goal is not to see who wins the fight, okay? It's conflict resolution. Disagreements happen, fights happen, but we got to know how to do it right. Disagreements happen. Why am I talking about this? Because our unity, or at least in my church, I don't know about here, but the unity within the body is being threatened, is under attack. So we got to get equipped to respond accordingly. When we face conflict with a coworker, it can be annoying. But for some reason, you're like, you know what? He doesn't pay my bills, so I don't care. But when conflict exists among the family, it reaches a different level. When conflict exists, you know, in the church, wait a minute, I got to go there every Sunday. And when somebody's got a problem with you, they can look at you in the face and then do this. And you got to live through it. And you got to turn the other cheek. We have to be Christ-like. There's no way I can do it, but the Bible says that I can do it all things through Christ that strengthens me. Again, His grace saved us. His grace sustains us. Repeat after me. We have a decision to make. Not yet. Okay? We have to respond. How do we respond? Okay, now repeat after me. Move away. Number two, move against. Number three, move toward. Again, move away, move against, move toward. The decision is yours. When you move away, there is blame shifting. There is denial. There is ignoring. You know what? I'm just going to ignore the problem. You know what? I got no time for you. I'm just going to ignore you. Guess what? It starts to accumulate. And then you start, you know, you find yourself sweeping a multitude of people under the rug guess what? Sooner or later, there's a lot of dust that goes all over the place. And then instead of seeing unity and harmony and love, you see conflict, you see dissension, you see bitterness. That's not God's will for our life. You can move against. You know what? You offended me. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to gossip against you. I'm going to insult you. I'm going to compete with you to see who praises louder. To see who serves more. To see who gives more. I'm going to stop. But now, what we need to do is move toward. We got to move toward people in love. We got to move toward people with a spirit of unity and harmony. Oh, but I just can't stand that person. It's okay. I've been there. But this is why it's only by the grace of God that we don't just get to talk about it, but we get to be about it. It's only by the grace of God. It's easy to talk about it. Yes, hallelujah, Jesus saves and he's coming back. And it's not just about talking about it. It's about living your faith. So we got to move toward. The goal is restoration and harmony. And the reality is that a good relationship is worth fighting for. Sometimes we could be serving together with this particular person for years, and then something ridiculous happens, and a friendship that we had for years is now broken. The harmony that we got to enjoy for years is now severed. I have some good news. Jesus makes all things new. But we have to purpose in our hearts. God, will you make me part of the solution and not part of the problem? We got to take initiative. We got to focus on goals bigger than ourselves. There are people losing their soul. There are people going to hell. That's a greater purpose. That's a greater mission. We don't got time for dissension. We don't got time for conflict. And yes, it happens. But we can rise above. We got to listen to each other. Sometimes we're listening, but what we're really doing is just thinking of how we're going to answer back. We're going, but in our minds is, man, you know, this is a rebuttal. I'm thinking about a rebuttal. I'm thinking of how I'm going to come back. The person is pouring their heart. They're crying. Boogers are coming out. They're being open and transparent with you. They're trying to tell you how they were offended, how much you hurt them. Because the reality is that sometimes we hurt people. And we're the last to know. But if we don't talk about it, then how can healing take place? So the person's pouring their heart, and you're like, But in your mind, you're like, well, I'm getting you. I'm going to get you. Watch what I'm going to throw at you after you finish. We got to listen to each other. We got to validate our story. Okay? Person got hurt and offended for a reason. Don't ignore it. Don't belittle it. Validate it. And work towards reconciliation. Work towards this not happening again. I got news, though. It's going to happen again. But hopefully the second time we respond better. Are you following me this evening? Let's open to Lamentations. Jesus. I had it open. Praise the Lord. I had Lamentations open. What happened to Lamentations? Okay. Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to read verse 22 and 23. And after we read it, I think that word just deserves a shout of praise. Because of the Lord's great love, we were not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Hallelujah. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. His mercies are new each and every morning. He is a faithful God even when we're faithless. Oh, hallelujah. God's faithfulness does not depend on ours. He's faithful. He is merciful. He is loving. Sometimes we look at people and we're like, you know, that person doesn't deserve to get blessed. That person doesn't deserve to get loved upon. That person does. And then I have just one question. So that means that you deserved it. So that means that I deserved it. Not all have fallen short of the glory of God. My friend used to say all the time that the floor is leveled at the foot of the cross. The floor is leveled at the foot of the cross. We all need grace. We all need mercy. The same way that we have received mercy, the same way that we have experienced grace, we got to extend mercy. We got to extend grace. To he who much is given, much will be required. If you are in a position to lead, to serve, then believe you me, you will be tested. And do not remember where God took you out of. Do not remember how God forgave you. Do not remember how God picked you up when you were down. Do not forget, better yet, do not forget. Do not forget how God was there with you while everybody else failed you. How do we strengthen the links of the chain that keeps us together? Does anyone have tissue? Tissue real quick. I forgot my, yeah. How do we strengthen the links of the chain that keeps us together? Hallelujah. Number one, we got to adjust our focus. We have to adjust our focus. What is it that you're focusing on lately? There are some people in the workplace. Thank you very much. Thank you. There are people in the workplace. There are people in our churches that they go into the room and all they can see is negativity. In Spanish, it goes like, hay personas que siempre están buscándole la quinta pata al gato. You know, they're always looking for something wrong. Oh, wasn't that service just so powerful? Oh, man, but I just couldn't stand what the pastor was wearing. Oh, but wasn't that worship just heavenly? Oh, man, that drum player, I just can't stand that dude, man. I love you, Chino. Where are you? We got to adjust our focus. Tell your neighbor, adjust your focus. Hallelujah. The reality is that you gravitate towards what you focus upon. So if you are focused on negativity and negative people, then guess what? Sooner or later, you will become a negative person. If you're just focused on the gossip, then sooner or later, you will become a gossiper. So you got to adjust your focus. The reality is every time that we come to church, God's ready. He is able. We're the ones that are not. He's ready to bless us. He's ready to empower us. He's ready to encourage us. He's ready to forgive us. He's ready to strengthen us. And where are we? We're thinking about the rice and beans that are burning. We got to adjust our focus. Do not focus on your circumstance in the world or in what's popular and what you have or what's missing. Do not focus on your personal achievements. Focus on Christ. Focus on El Shaddai, the Lord God who was more than enough. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that works in us. Focus on Jesus. We need a healer. We will find it in Jesus. We need hope. We will find it in Jesus. We need strength. We will find it in Jesus. We need guidance. We will find it in Jesus. He is El Shaddai. Focus on Jesus. Don't focus on what you lack, on what you're missing. Focus on what you already have. Only by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Instead of relying on your personal abilities or on positive thoughts, positive thinking, that's a secular mentality. It's not about thinking positively only. It's about thinking biblically. What is God saying these days? So it's not just a thinking positively. How about connecting with God in prayer? Adjusting your focus and turn to a lifestyle of prayer. Adjust your focus and turn to a lifestyle of worship. Adjust your focus and turn to a lifestyle of studying this word and not just reading it. And then after you study it, you ask the Spirit, now, God, will you help me apply it? Come on, church. We got to adjust our focus. But many people in our churches, we tend to treat our spiritual life like our cell phones. We only get connected when the battery's low. Right? Let's not treat our relationship with God that way. Well, you know what? I only get connected on Sundays. I get my Sunday fix, and that should last me from Monday to Saturday. I want to be around people that just can't get enough of Jesus. Hallelujah. I know that people here tonight, they need Jesus on Monday. We need Jesus on Tuesday. We need Jesus on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, and then on Sunday. Hallelujah. We don't come to get ready. We already ready to lift the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. To give him all the glory and the praise that he is so worthy of. Hallelujah. It was Paul that said, I no longer live, but now Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. What does that mean? God is challenging us. Tell your neighbor, God's challenging you. God's challenging you. Church, we need to stop being led by our emotions and allow God to lead us through principles. We need principles. Biblical principles. Emotions, you know, we're all emotional beings, but that cannot drive us. Oh, you know what? I didn't go to church this Sunday because I didn't feel good. God is looking for true worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for worshipers that say, you know what? I don't got a job right now, but I got to worship God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm sick. I'm not feeling well, but there is something within me that needs to worship the Lord. We cannot be seasonal believers or seasonal worshipers. We need to worship God at all times because he is worthy. He is faithful. We worship him not because of what he has just given us. We worship him because of who he is. Because of who he is. Hallelujah. We got to be led by biblical principles and not by emotions. Do you know that I'm sure that many of you have heard this illustration before, that, you know, within us there are two ferocious animals. One, the desires of the spirit. The other, the desires of the flesh. And they're constantly wrestling and they're fighting with one another. Now I ask you the question, which one will win? And the answer is quite simple, the one that you feed. So I ask you, what is it that you're feeding today? Are you all about the flesh or you're all about the spirit? Are you all about chuleta? Even though it's pretty good right now, about right now, right? I don't mean to get you hungry. Or you're all about the spirit? We got to be led. We got to be led by the spirit. Hallelujah. We're so busy feeding the flesh. I don't know, but in Florida, everybody loves the beach. And it's all good. It's wonderful to relax. It's wonderful to take some sun. But you see, God is looking for men and women that say, okay, I can go to the beach later, but right now I need to be in church. Right now I need to worship the Lord. Right now I need to speak to the Father and allow the Father to speak to me. Hallelujah. We got to know that there is time for everything. And when it's time to worship the Lord, then we got to worship the Lord. Can you open to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 22 to 24. It's a quick reminder of who we are. The Bible says you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by his deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on, say it with me, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The enemy will continually remind you the way you were. The enemy will remind you of your past life. The enemy will remind you of the Egypt that you left behind. And for one way or another, there are still people that are trying to serve God. They're trying to worship God. They're trying to fulfill the purposes of God, still holding on to their Egypt. That creates dissension. Do you know where dissension begins? In the mind. We can't be people that has one foot in the world and one foot in church. We either all in or we're not. God doesn't want 20%. He doesn't want 50%. He doesn't even want 75%. He wants all of us because he gave all of himself to give us life, to give us forgiveness, identity, and purpose. Hallelujah. Where does dissension begin? In the mind. You could be in this physical temple, in this physical building, and your mind could be somewhere else. We got to adjust our focus. Tell your neighbor, adjust your focus. Number two, we got to be honest and transparent. We have to be honest and transparent. Michael Todd said that in his church, everybody is honest, open, and transparent. They're all hot. They're honest, open, and transparent. How many times have you admitted that you need Jesus? That you're weak? You see, that goes against the secular vernacular. It goes against secular mentality. Because when you admit that you're weak, you're going to be ridiculed upon. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be judged. The reality is that when you admit that you're weak, that's when God's grace activates and makes you strong. We got to admit your weakness. You got to repent. You got to confess your sins to God and he will forgive you. You got to let go of the shame and guilt. For the Bible says that therefore, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The wrong decisions of our past do not have to define us. It doesn't have to enslave us today. We need to surround ourselves with wise and mature people who will listen without judging you, who will help you to grow in your relationship with God, the most important relationship that we all have. We got to move forward with confidence, knowing that God has forgiven our past, but he also sustains us in the present, and he has also blessed our future. Our lives are blessed in Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, the Bible teaches us how it's necessary for us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that he may lift you up in due season. casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you and I. But it all begins with humbleness. It all begins with humility. We got to humble ourselves before God. And in order to do so, we need to be honest and we need to be transparent. We got to say, you know what? If we need prayer, we can't be thinking about what our neighbor is thinking about, what the person next to us is thinking about. If we got to go up to the altar, yes, you are a leader. Yes, you are in ministry. But yes, you are also human, in need of a savior, in need of redemption, in need of forgiveness, in need of strength to continue in this journey. We forget, yes, we're ministers. Yes, we're leaders. Yes, we're serving in the kingdom. But yes, we need Jesus as much as anyone. Sometimes as leaders, we watch everybody else go up to the altar, but we're just chilling. We're just keeping it cool. I don't want to think that, you know, I'm in sin. Or who cares? When that happens, when we live for the applause of the people instead of for the approval of one, okay, that's something dangerous. You know, because we're paying more attention on what others are saying, but what is God saying? What's God asking from us? I truly believe that the leaders and those that are in ministry should be the first ones. We should be the first one giving the church example. That when we say worship, the leaders should be the first ones to worship. When we say it's time to go to church, we don't get there 5 minutes later. We get there 5:15, an hour earlier. We got to lead by example. Hallelujah. We got to ask God to reveal the root of our struggle. Why in the world am I talking about all of this? Again, the theme is unity. This all will get in the way. It will cause dissension, double-mindedness. And God wants us to submit. He wants us to submit to his word and his ways and his will. But if we can't submit to the authority that God has established on earth, then how can we possibly submit to God? If we can't love our brother that we see, how in the world can we then love the God that we do not see? We got to ask God, will you reveal the root of my struggle? It could be wounds of your past, someone left a void. There's a lot of people empty out there. There are millionaires that are empty. There are people in our surroundings, in the workplace, in the schools, in our communities that are empty. They could have the car, they could have the house, they can have the money and still be empty. There are people that are searching. They turn to drugs, they turn to sex. They yearn for acceptance. Why? Because they're trying. They're utilizing all their resources, all their effort to try to fill that void. But that's where you and I come in. We can approach this person in love and say, you don't have to continue looking. There is only one person, and his name is Jesus, that can truly satisfy and fill that void that's in your heart. That the money and the possessions were never able to fill. In Jesus' name, we got to say, you know what? Every generational curse ends with me. How many are bold enough to say that tonight? Every generational curse ends with me. It doesn't matter what your grandfather did, what your father did, what your uncle did, or your uncle is doing. Every generational curse ends with you. All we need to do is to decide today. We got to decide today, God. As your church, we got to decide today. We got to clean our closet. Tell your neighbor, clean your closet, man. We got to make room for the new things of God. We can't still keep holding on to the past. Come on, church. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we need to forget those things that we have left in our past and press towards the mark which is in Christ Jesus. You know what? If we got to remember our past, then what we should do is remember the faithfulness of God. We should remember the love of God. We should remember that when we were down and out, God came and rescued us. We should remember that we wanted to throw in the towel and give up. There was Jesus. We all got scars, right? We all got scars. Let the scars that you carry not remind you of the pain that you went through, but of the promises that you have in Jesus. Let it remind you of his faithfulness. Let it remind you of his love. We also got to make room for new mentality, a new attitude, a new perspective. Make room for some new people. Hallelujah. Have you ever met somebody that when you talk to them, you know, when they want to share something positive, all they do is they reflect on their past. Or when they hear a group of people testifying, they want to join in the conversation and they say, yeah, I remember that in 1983. What is God doing in your life today? Come on, church. But they remember, oh, I remember those days. Why remain remembering those days when you can make some new days and new experiences today with the Lord? Hallelujah. We got to make room for people that will bring us closer to God and not draw us away. We got to let it go. That's right. I know what everybody's thinking right now. Frost. What's that movie? We got to let it go. What is it? Frost? What is it? Frozen. There you go. That's the third part. That's my version, okay? We got to overcome discouragement. Feelings of rejection, of low self-esteem by giving it to Christ. Just give it to Christ. We got to let go. We got to remember that our value and our identity is found in the Lord. You know, we're so concerned with reputation that we forget our character. You see, reputation is what others know. Character is what God sees and wants to mold. Amen? Reputation is what others think of you. Character is what defines you. It's what makes you up. It's what God knows. It's what God sees and what he wants and desires to mold. We need to say, God, can you shape me? Can you mold me? Can you break me and make me all over again, Lord? Like the song says, you know, I'm the canvas that you can write on, and I'm the clay that you can form. Amen? But we got to humble ourselves. We got to ask God to help us all see the potential that he sees. Sometimes, you know what? There shouldn't be any room for jealousy in the house of God. The same God that's blessing your neighbor has prepared blessings just for you. We're all significant. Tell your neighbor this morning, you're significant. You're important. You are valued in the eyes of God. That's why we shouldn't envy. We shouldn't be jealous. The same way that God uses your brother, he can use you. Hallelujah. But it's all about commitment. It's all about discipline. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Do you know when our service before the Lord begins, it doesn't begin in the altar. It begins in the parking lot. Come on, church. That's where ministry begins. Hallelujah. We're going to say, God, here I am, Lord. Do with me, Lord, as you want. Haz de mí lo que quieras, Dios. How many dare to say that? It takes commitment. We can't be afraid of commitment. Oh, but what if I fail? That's sometimes why a lot of people don't serve in ministry, because they're afraid of failure. What happens if I start and then I don't finish? When has it been all about you? ¿Acaso te has olvidado que todo lo podemos en Cristo? Maybe you have forgotten that we can do all things in Christ. It's not about us. It's about what God can do through you. It's about what God can do through me. Amen. And I'm about to wrap it up, guys. I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 10, the Bible says, "And the God of all grace, who called you," tell your neighbor, "you've been called." "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while." Tell your neighbor, it's only for a little while. God will see you through. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're walking through the fire, but God is here tonight to remind you that he is with you in the fire. He has not left you. Hallelujah. God is with you. God is with you. It's only for a little while. He himself will restore you. He will make you strong. He will make you firm. He will end steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. And we all said, amen. He will restore you and he will make you strong. Other versions say, he will sustain you and he will make you strong. Follow me. Everybody listening? He will sustain you. Other versions of scripture say, he will sustain you and he will make you strong. He will sustain you and he will make you strong. He will sustain you and he will make you strong. Él te sostendrá y te hará fuerte. Y yo le pregunté a papá, Señor, ¿qué significa? Porque parece que las dos cosas son iguales. I asked God, God, will you teach me? Will you show me what that means? In the original context, there is a difference. You see, sometimes we need to be strengthened and we need to be empowered to do what God has called us to do. But there are other times where we need to be carried by our Savior. Hallelujah. There are other times where Jesus said, no, you come here, come here. It's my turn. You need to be carried. You need to be loved upon. You need to know how much I love you, that I will never leave you, that I'm here with you and never forsake you. So there are moments where we experience the power and the strength and the anointing of God. But there are other moments in this journey that we just need to be carried by our Heavenly Father. And God has promised to do both. What are you going through? Maybe you need some time in the hands of your Savior, in the arms of your Savior. Maybe you need some healing. Healing is here. Maybe you need some strength. Strength is here. Come on, church. Maybe you need a new beginning. Restoration is here. Hallelujah. Maybe you need to be set free. Deliverance is here. I don't know how many hear me tonight. All that you need is here in the person of Jesus. And with this, I leave you. Joshua, if you can just stand. Joshua chapter 1. I want you to repeat after me. I am who the Bible says I am. And I have what the Bible says I have. Again, say, I am who the Bible says I am. And I have what the Bible says I have. Say it with me. I am a child of God. And I'm loved by him. And we feel like giving up. When you feel like you're being surrounded, who's been there? Or is it just me? It was Joseph Prince that said, if you're not living right, it's because you're not believing right. What are we filling our minds with? Jesus. Fill your mind with his word. Fill your soul with his spirit. Fill your thoughts with his promises. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. This word was for young Joshua before he led the people of Israel to the promised land. And this word is for the outside church. Verse 5 says, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you, the outside church. I don't know how many receive that word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to read it again. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Greater is he that is in you than whatever rises up against you. You got to say like the old song said, the joy that I have, the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. This peace that I have, the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. And you know, as I read this portion of scripture, no one will be able to stand up against you. Hallelujah. I said, God, teach me. Say it with me. Teach me, God. Pastor T, come here. I said, God, can you be a little bit more specific? Check this out. The only authority that the devil has over your life is the one that you give him. That's why if he's able to manipulate your mind, he's able to control you. But how many know that we all have the mind of Christ? The Bible says it was a promise for the young Joshua, and it's a promise for us today, that no one will be able to stand against us. I said, God, can you take me deeper, Lord? What does that mean, Lord? Because I don't know, but sometimes I feel the enemy getting real close. I don't know who's been there. Sometimes, you know what, I know, God, that you said you're going to walk with me through the fire, but man, it's getting really hot in here. You said no one will be able to stand against me. I don't know, but look, I lost my job. Look, I got sick. Look at this. I'm battling with feelings of depression. God, what's going on? You're telling me that no one will be able to stand up against me. And I said, God, will you take me deeper? He said, you know what? The enemy will not have authority over you. The Bible says, no weapon, say no weapon, formed against you will prosper. But it doesn't mean that it will not be formed. But the Bible says that it will not prosper against you. I'm sure you heard that before. Come on, church. But we got to believe it. Now, we also can apply this word in the same manner. The enemy may get close. And the enemy may say, you know what? You're not going anywhere. You know what? You're not going to see the faithfulness of God. You know what? God is not going to fulfill his promise. You know what? They're all going to leave you. But that's okay, because the Bible says that the enemy will not be able to stand. In other words, the enemy will not be able to have authority over you, because with you, we have the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And though the enemy has declared, God has decreed, and he has decreed life over you. He has decreed destiny over you. He has decreed power over you, your family, and your ministry. Do you believe that with me tonight? The enemy can talk all he wants. That's all right. But there is a God that's hovering over us. And though the enemy rises up against us like a flood in the midst of the battle, God will raise a standard of righteousness. Come on. God will raise a banner of victory. How many embrace that victory in the Lord? Hallelujah. Oh, we got to reject those negative voices. We got to reject those negative voices. The enemy is standing around you. The enemy is standing around your family. The enemy is standing around your ministry. The enemy is standing around your finances. But God reminds you that greater is He that is in you than whatever can stand up against you. How many believe the word of the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that you've given us to share this evening. Lord, tonight we stop listening to negative voices. We stop listening to voices of condemnation. We stop listening to voices of shame and guilt. We stop listening to voices of division or dissension. Tonight, we listen to the word of the Lord. We listen and we fully embrace the promises of God. In Jesus' name, the devil is a liar. In Jesus' name, the devil is a liar. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. En el nombre de Jesús. En el nombre de Jesús, aleluya. Él es nuestro amparo y nuestra fortaleza, nuestro pronto auxilio en las tribulaciones. Diré yo a Jehová, esperanza mía y castillo mío. Mi Dios en quien confiaré. I will say of the Lord, you are my strong tower. You are my redeemer. You are my refuge and my strength. Therefore, I will not fear. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Give God a clap offering this evening. In Jesus' name, we proceed in unity. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We proceed in unity. We proceed together. We are better together. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, we are better together. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.